So today I'm going to do a podcast on Animal Farm by George Orwell. So I got a question on Quora, and this question asked me about George Orwell's Animal Farm. And I hadn't read it, at least I read very little of it, so I sat down and I think it is 2 hours. I read the whole book, which is an average reader's length. That's sort of an average reading speed is 300 words a minute. George Orwell's Animal Farm is 29,000 words. And I gotta say, it's a beautiful, beautiful, very haunting story. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of it. The story is you have the Jones Farm, Manor Farm, and he basically turned his farm into a feudal dictatorship, and the animals overthrow him. And after the animals overthrow him, there's a succession of leadership, which the nuances of this are important. So first you have Major, who's an eloquent speaker, and then you have Napoleon and Snowball, who both first are co-rulers of the animal farm, and they vie for their power. And Snowball is not really good. I'd like to emphasize that, because a lot of people think Snowball's good. Snowball's not good. Snowball, it's like you take away all the candy, all the nice clothes, all the things that like make life nice and enjoyable. You take all those away and you give people bare subsistence. That's what's in Snowball's philosophy, and that's generally communism. And so this is important because Snowball enacts these 7 rules, and they're completely misunderstood at the very outset. The animals don't have the education necessary to comprehend them. So they boil it down to 1 rule, and that's 4 legs good, 2 legs bad. Which, I watched a cartoon on George Orwell's Animal Farm years ago, and they kind of did this extra canonical dissertation of the chickens having 2 legs and the animals being suspicious of them. But that's not actually in the book, although there is a scene where the chickens kind of rebel against Napoleon and they get killed off, but that's later on in the book. So anyways, Snowball ends up wanting to build a windmill, and all the animals are for it, but then Napoleon just squashes it, and they kick Snowball out with his elite force of dog units that he raised from puppies, and he basically trained them to be nasty and mean. They're like a private military group. He pushes off the Snowball and runs him off the farm, and then the next day he's like, well, I'm gonna build the windmill, it's my idea. And you start getting this succession of facts being willfully manipulated in Napoleon's favor. So like basically he starts changing the law little by little, and he starts influencing people's memories to say that this really didn't happen. Kind of like how they're like, George Washington owned slaves, he was a bad person. Thomas Jefferson was a bad person. You know, the Civil War wasn't fought over slavery. We have these things right now in the Americas. Although Snowball is more of a communist ruler, and he's, again, not good because he's kind of like deprives the people of the pleasures of life. It's kind of like a bare necessity. Everybody gets fed. Although even then, you see that Snowball and his pigs are eating milk and apples, and they're like, we need milk and apples to run country efficiently. So you do see some kind of hints of corruption, not to mention the boiling the 7 laws down to only 1. And then you move forward, Snowball's ejected, and then Napoleon has rule, and he starts like doing these mind games with his people. And this is the important part of Animal Farm, is the effect of the leadership skewing and changing history through altering laws and altering historical facts and whatever means they do this. This is one of the reasons why paperbound books are so important, because we need hard copies of books to sort of remember and make a remembrance of the past, because I'm pretty sure they can't change those. And also like DVDs and also VHSs and stuff like that. We need those too. But anyways, so we go through, and Napoleon just makes a complete erasure of the revolution, their battle. He makes Snowball first like kind of this gray figure and suddenly into this completely black figure. And so at the very end, Napoleon has control over the whole thing. And he turns into the people again. And then, of course, he becomes a feudal lord. And then the feudal lords go to war over cheating at a card game. Okay, and then there's, like, other characters I'm going to get into. And these are kind of interesting characters. You have Benjamin the Donkey. You have Boxer the Horse. You have Clover the Horse. And you have Molly the Horse. And these are the main characters aside from the pigs and dogs and people. So Boxer is a hard workhorse. And he's a really strong, diligent. He does his job well. And at the end of it, of course, Napoleon has Boxer sent to the glue factory. That's his thing. ranks, and as soon as he's about ready to get on retirement, he gets sent away to the glue factory and butchered, and his bones turn into glue and all that other stuff. Then you have Clover. She's old enough to have witnessed the final change of the fascist government back into like a feudal government. I'm gonna call it fascist, although it's communist. It's kind of like, it's like, it's an unknown political theory, but it's like very much something that happens in real life. And then you have the donkey, who's very literate, but he just doesn't care to read or do any of that stuff. And he's the one who has a remembrance of the whole thing. He remembers the whole thing. And he's just like, yeah, these things are gonna change. I don't care though. It's always gonna be bad. Under whoever you're under, it's gonna be bad. That's the donkey's philosophy. Molly is flighty. She doesn't like to work. She likes to dote on herself. She likes to eat sugar cubes. So she ends up going and living with the humans. And Molly's a complex character because, like, it's like this person who, like, will always be a slave because they like the creature comforts of the world. Obviously, she's not justified, although it's still bad, like, what's under the animal farm. But, like, Molly is, like, this frivolous character. Where does she place in all this? She's just there because there are people like this. Like, what do you do with these type of people? You have Boxer, the workhorse, and you have Molly, the show horse. And she gets her ribbons and she gets petted and all that other stuff. And it's just like, why is she in the story? I think it's just to add that kind of added absurdity to it. Like, you really have to wrestle with that concept too. Is she just? Is she not? It's like kind of a gray area. You don't know. And then Benjamin, of course, remembers everything. And then Clover, she's the other workhorse and she remembers a little. She's somewhat literate, but she doesn't have the good memory that Benjamin does. And she kind of forgets things. And this is one of the most important things about the novel, is that the slow forgetfulness that clouds people and doesn't let them see the glory, if there even was a glory, because I would dispute that there even was. But it's sort of like this slow decay from like an okay society. People are fed, they're not hungry, but there's still a little bit of corruption, to this like really decadent evil, back to a feudal dictatorship again. And the question is, there's really no good politics in Animal Farm. The whole story, there's no good politics. There's the three main characters, the three good guys, Benjamin, Clover, and Boxer, who are complete victims of this absurd conflict that really has no bearing on their lives, because it's going to be the same no matter whether they start or they finish. It's going to be the same. And that's important to understand, like, because there are a lot of people out there in this world that are like that. They're just thrown into these absurd conflicts and they're a part of it, but there's really nothing to gain from it. And there really isn't. They're completely reliant on the outcomes of these fake elections and these totalitarian rules. There's really no getting around it, that they're completely dependent on what happens and what's going to happen in either case is not going to be good. So then you kind of get the Benjamin's philosophy, where it's like, well, you know, there's really no such thing as good. There's no good society. But then you have America. It's like, America was great. America always was great. You read Ben Franklin's literature and you can see the greatness that was America and the prosperity we enjoyed, where even people who are poor had candies, they had nice clothes because we had cotton. We had such a prosperous civilization. And the thing to understand about America is that we need to remember, and this is what the story is about, you need to make a remembrance of what's good and when times were good, so you know when they're get changing and they're not good anymore. And you need to remind people of this. You can't be Benjamin who's like, oh, it's always bad. You can't be Boxer who's like, Napoleon's always right and I'm just gonna work harder. And you can't be like Clover, who slowly forgets the fact and the truth that things could have been better. Not even that they were, it's that they could have been better. And that's a good remembrance that we need to have going forward, so we don't end up in a position where we end up in an animal farm.